Open up to 1 John chapter 4. We'll start reading at verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And this, in this the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him, and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Verse 15. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. May the Lord give us ears to hear. Verse 15. Well, if we remember from last week, 13 and 14, by this we know that we abide in him and he in him, because he has given us of his Spirit. God the Spirit has been given to us. He abides in us, and by this we know that we are in Him. We have seen and testified that the Father has sent His Son as Savior of the world. Savior for us sinners. Okay, so verse 15, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in Him and He in God. That is, those who truly believe in their hearts, it's more than just verbally confessing. For we know that many have done so, and by their lives have thus proven that the confession was nothing. Many have confessed and possibly raised their hand and walked down an aisle and said a prayer, but it never was genuine. They didn't leave changed. Maybe for a week or two, you know, they changed a little bit here and there, but they fell back to a routine, to a pattern of life, to what they were more accustomed to, thus showing or proving that there was no real change. It was no true confession. Only those who truly believe in their hearts and live a life that shows it is a true faith and not merely just a lip service, but a true faith, a true confessing that Jesus is the Son of God. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Now the words confess and believe carry strong notions with them. It is a whole lot more than just, you know, verbally saying something and just believing something. For the word says that even the demons believe. And what do? They tremble. Even the demons believe, yet they tremble, for they know that Jesus is God Almighty. So it is much more than just saying, yeah, I believe in Christ. I believe He's the Son of God. And I'm confessing that. Now, let's go watch a rated R movie or something like that. Let's go, you know, do whatever we want to do. Let's go get drunk, or let's go to this and that. There's got to be a lifestyle that shows that when you confessed and that you believed, it was real. That your very nature has been changed. That you're not the same person anymore. You are not pleased by the things of the world no longer. You realize that you were a slave to your sin, and that God has given you life. He has freed you. You were dead. He has made you alive. And you're on a new path now. That is one who has truly confessed that Jesus is the Son of God and that you have believed this in your heart and you're now a new person. Turn to Acts chapter 8 real quick. Acts chapter 8, starting in verse 26. Let us read. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go towards the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert." So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and overtake this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. And in his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who would declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." So the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now, I like that. Stop there for a second. Here he finds this man reading of the old scriptures. And he asks him, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And the man is honest here. He says, "How can I unless someone can guide me, explain it to me?" Right? And so he reads a portion of scripture and then asks, who is he talking about, himself or some other man? And what does Philip do? He preaches Jesus here. He preaches Jesus to him. Let's continue on. And then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at the scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" So what do you think is going on in this eunuch's mind? He's reading the scripture. Philip comes by and starts preaching Jesus to him. Why would he want to be baptized? He's commanded to. So something's going on in him here. Okay? He sees a body of water and says, what's preventing me from being baptized? What hinders me from being baptized? Verse 37. Then Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." If you believe with all your heart. With all your heart. Not just a portion of your heart. Not just for a little while. But truly believe with all your heart. What? Believe what? Well, Philip is just preaching Jesus to him. Believe this with all of your heart and be baptized. Let's continue. "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." The Word did its work in this man's life. And he was changed. He truly believed that Jesus was the Son of God through Philip explaining the text and preaching Christ. And the Spirit convicting him and changing him. realizing, hey, there's a body of water. What's keeping me from being baptized? Well, truly believe in your heart and be baptized. And what is the response? I believe Jesus is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and when he went on his way, rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. So I like what happens here, and to God be the glory. Here you have a man who is reading the Scripture, and really, he doesn't know what he's reading, but he has the Scripture in his hand. And he asked Philip, how can I understand this unless someone leads me, guides me, explains it to me? And so Philip does so. He explains the portion of Scripture and preaches Jesus to him. And he believes that Jesus is the Son of God and is baptized. And what does it say? And he went on his way rejoicing. For he was a new person. A new man. It was more than just lip service. Yeah, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. Okay, see you later. He went away rejoicing because the truth was revealed to him. The truth changed him. Now he had something to rejoice about, that he was alive. He had hope. And to that we do say, amen. Now flip to John chapter 12. Regular John chapter 12. John chapter 12, starting in verse 12. The next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. Then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat on it, as it is written, Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. His disciples did not understand these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written about him, and that they had done these things to him. Therefore the people who were with him, when he had called Lazarus out of his tomb, and raised him from the dead, bore witness. For this reason the people also met him, because they heard that he had done this sign. If you have been reading through the New Testament, you would have read that story of him raising Lazarus from the dead. And it's quite a unique, you should all read it if you haven't read it in a long time. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, You see that you are accomplishing nothing. Look, the world has gone after him. Now there were certain Greeks among those who had came up to worship at the feast. Then they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, saying, Sir, we wish to see Jesus. Philip came and told Andrew, and in turn Andrew and Philip told Jesus. But Jesus answered them, saying, The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. What is Jesus talking about here? What was this purpose that he came to do? Okay. To die. To die in our place. to take upon God's wrath to satisfy the sins for us. Let's continue. I came to this hour, Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Therefore the people who stood by and heard it, heard the voice, said that it had thundered. Others said an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. This he said, signifying by what death he would die. The people answered him, we have heard from the law that Christ remains forever. And how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is the Son of Man? Then Jesus said to them, a little while longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest the darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of the light. Believe in the light, that you may become sons of the light. Continue on. These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. But although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him. That the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke. Lord, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe because Isaiah said again, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. These things Isaiah said when he saw his glory and spoke of him. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Then Jesus cried out and said, he who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that this command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. Now he says a few things here. That while you have the light, walk in it, lest the darkness overtake you. He says to believe in the light. Believe in the light. But some did not believe in the light and did not confess the light. And when they do not receive his word, they have judged themselves already and will be judged on the last day. We must believe in the light and walk in the light. Confess the light. Amen? This reminds us of 1 John. Let's turn back to our text. In fact, turn to 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. Very similar language here. He says, this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you. Okay, so we just heard from Christ speaking. Now this is what John is saying of Christ. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. We must walk in the light where Christ is. We must believe in the light. Who is the light? Jesus. We must confess Him, believe in Him, and live Him. Walk in Him, abide in Him. Again, it is not just lip service. Just like we are told not to love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. There is proof. There is the fruit that follows to show that when we confessed, if we truly believed in our heart that Jesus is the Son of God, the fruit will follow. The proof will follow. Confess, believe. Fruit will follow. It shows that you are sons of the light. God abides in Him, and He in God. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and He in God. We should all know what abide means by now. To remain in a given place, right? To stand, to dwell forever. Verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Here again we see known and believed, which goes back to what we were just talking about in verse 15. So then, we know and believe the love that God has for us. Do we? Do we know about the love that God has for us? Do we believe about the love that God has for us? If we don't know that, if we don't believe that, we're in a heap of trouble. For God has loved us. He sent His only begotten Son to die for you. For all the wrong things that you have done. Is there a greater love than that? To send His own Son to die? Perfect Jesus who did nothing wrong to die in your place? When you owed a debt, He paid the debt for you? That is love. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. Notice that John says, has for us. It's not that God had a love for us and then it stopped. Well, you know, He loved you that one time and that was pretty much it for you. No. He has a love for us. For if we confess that Jesus is the Son of God and believe in our heart that He was raised again and now lives, we are His children. And His Father loves His children and takes care of His children. So He has a love for us, His sons and daughters. He has a love, or in the Greek it says, in our case, He has a love for us, in our case. And we've talked about that before, what our case was. We know what our case was. Hopeless, lost, dead. In our case, God has a love for us. God is the source of love, for He is love. And he who abides in love, he who remains in love, who loves God, who loves the brethren, and he who remains in that love, abides, dwells in that love, abides in God, remains in God, dwells in God forever, because the Spirit lives in us And that Spirit bears what? Love. And if we are His, love should be flowing out from us to each other. He who abides in love abides in God and God in us. 1 John 4:8. He who does not love does not know God. For God is love. If we do not love, we do not know God. Because God is love. And if we claim to know God, then love better be evident in our lives. So confess that Jesus is the Son of God. And believe in your heart. And be transformed. Be a new person. And if you have been already, continue to glorify God through your lives. Continue in the love which you are commanded to do. Love Him and love each other. And keep His Word. Hide it in your heart that we might not sin against Him. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we have heard Your precious Word. This treasure that You have given to us. And so I ask this day, Lord, for all of us in here that have heard Your Word, Father, may it do its work in us. We ask, we pray, Lord, if there's anyone in here who has not confessed and believed that Jesus is the Son of God and was sent to die for our sins and was crucified and killed and was raised on the third day, may they confess that and believe that this day. That they may have new life, may have a new person, that You would abide in them this day. And to those who You have made alive already, who have confessed and believed that Jesus is the Son of God, may we continue to preach that, just as Philip did to the Ethiopian. He preached Jesus, proclaimed Him. May us, the children of God, His ambassadors, proclaim this every single day of our life. May we preach Jesus and Him crucified and Him raised every day, because this is what He has done for us. And may we love You, Father, with all of our heart, with all of our soul and mind and strength, and let us love one another. For love is of God. And if we are Your children, we should too have this love for each other. To look out for one another. To serve one another. To die for one another. For this is what we are commanded to. And those of us who abide in love, abide in You. We pray all these things in Jesus' name.